your earlier comments, you made reference to sharing at the federal level. And in years past, certainly there were, I think it's fair to say, question and concern about how openly some federal agencies, and in particular the FBI, was about sharing their investigative information with local law enforcement. I share your sense that this has changed that culture in large measure, and I would ask you to speak to that just very briefly, particularly from your perspective as the first vice president of the International Association of Chiefs of Police. This entire endeavor is a partnership with the FBI, CJIS division, and local law enforcement, and so I think our listeners should understand that this really is a new day of openness to sharing of information.
Yeah, I think clearly that was an institutional barrier that did exist. We're the FBI. We're here to help and give us everything you've got. But it was one of those one-way streets. That culture, the climate has changed, and it's changed I think fairly dramatically, particularly. And this is one of those projects that I think really has been a bonding agent, if you will, in trying to ensure that this is a two-way street of communication, that it's going up and it's coming back. Our federal partners are now really making a concerted effort to try to share as much information. They understand the need to be able to access our information because it's very valuable for their missions. But they also know that they are also... They're collectors of information, and they're holding, they also include repositories of information or nuggets or pieces of information that are going to help us make cases. That relationship, that trust is building. And we're not perfect. We've still got a ways to go, but I certainly have, particularly over the last couple of years, have really seen almost a paradigm shift, and I hate to use that word, but you've really seen a shift, at least with our federal partners, in that they want to be a partner, a true partnership. And that's been a real good outcome from participation in this program.
Other reactions to this aspect of the index, the deployment?
Ron, it's Chris Moore. I'd just like to add that we find ourselves in the position as locals for years and years, perhaps criticizing the FBI for their lack of willingness to share information, and yet we find ourselves now with a shoe on the other foot, is that now it's really the pressure is on local law enforcement to share what the FBI is already sharing today. And that is our challenge today, is to try and make sure that all of law enforcement, local law enforcement, state law enforcement, begins to get their information into Index so that it'll become even a more powerful tool. I'd also like to give credit to the FBI for listening to state and local law enforcement, tribal law enforcement, to see what our needs were and not to move the Index project forward until such time as we were all on the same page of what we could and couldn't do logistically as well as financially. And I think the FBI have been tremendous partners, CJIS Division in particular, in helping locals along the way to get to where we need to be. And I think that's in large part, certainly because of 9/11, but certainly because of Director Mueller, and his vision on how information sharing needed to be in this country. And I think it's shown, Mark has said, just tremendous efforts, tremendous movement. It's a complete paradigm shift, and it's a good one.
And I'd like to make one more comment, too. This is Scott Edson. And basically, just briefly, really, the atmosphere has changed from a need to know. Why do you want my information? It's changed from a need to know kind of environment to a need to share environment. No longer do we ask people, why do you need to know that? More often we're saying, why aren't you sharing with us? So Index has certainly helped in that effort to make a need to share environment.
I think it's particularly specifically with the Index project, one of the best things has been the FBI asking for assistance from subject matter experts from local, state, federal, and tribal. So we have had a great diverse group of subject matter experts that have actually been involved in the project, very deeply involved in the project from the get-go, in the design, in the responses, in the data, and every step of the way they have looked to the subject matter experts to guide them in the development of this project. So it hasn't been developed in a vacuum. It hasn't been developed by the FBI or some vendor. It has a very strong team of, I think, a couple hundred different subject matter experts that have been there. And I think that has really contributed to the buy-in from us at the local and state level and also to the success of the project.
We all know the importance of buy-in into that. And recently, the International Association of Chiefs of Police have partnered with the FBI in furthering this effort by creating a group of index liaisons who are out and available to work with the local law enforcement. I personally think that was a great move and just another step along this long-standing record of partnership that you're talking about, Pam. And it provides yet another resource for local law enforcement to utilize should they be interested in trying to deploy and get involved in the index development. Chief, would you want to make any comment, Chief Marshall, in your role with IACP regarding that program and what's behind it and what you expect to get out of it?
My hat is off to the FBI for recognizing that, particularly as we try to roll this out, as we start talking to agencies, the local state agencies, we still haven't broken all those barriers down about trust. And it is much easier for a police chief or somebody from the state, formerly a local or state practitioner, retired, to go out to the agencies because they can relate. They can relate to the local law enforcement concerns, their needs, and be able to really kind of walk the talk, if you will. So these practitioners are doing that. They're working, obviously, through IACP with the FBI on this index project. So it's not the FBI, a special agent from one of the field offices, going out and saying, here's my PowerPoint presentation, and this is why you should share your information. Now, what this is from it's the ground up. And it's the practitioners, the people that have been the subject matter experts at the local and state level that are now been contracted by IACP to be able to go out, do these presentations, get involved in the presentations, get involved in the training, and try to come up with solutions to be able to really at the end kind of take what Scott just said and say, why aren't you sharing? Why aren't you participating? And I think that's the reaction that we're getting. That's the feedback we're starting to get back from this core group of folks. So we still got a ways to go. It's a big country and a lot of agencies, but the word is starting to spread.
Is there any thing going on the technical side, Scott or Pam? I know you all in your roles have been intimately involved in this protection of the data, access activities. Throughout the comments that have been made, there's been this common theme of trust and growing collaboration and an openness, and obviously one of the things that can assist in maintaining that is having systems in place or a system in place that can manage access appropriately, vet that access, and also make sure the proper privacy pieces are in place. In your opinion, is the index addressing that and taking the right approach to it? And maybe some in detail about how that's occurring would be useful.
I think that index is addressing that very well. They have their ability to filter out certain data so that you can look at it yourself within your agency, you know, the red, green, yellow concept of data sharing, and I think that that's working extremely well. And the access is working very well, so I have a real strong faith in that whole process. I do want to say, though, that we cannot rely on Index or the FBI to enforce use and access standards. That must be handled by each agency. And so I think that's a really important distinction to make, that the agencies must be training their officers and investigators and personnel in the appropriate use of these systems and the sanctions that, you know, that if they misuse the system, that must be done at the agency level. But as far as the data and the ability for us to filter the data, I think they've done an excellent job with that. And I think, Scott, you have a thing with juveniles, don't you, that you've actually used that for?
Yes, and in Los Angeles County, there's a law that does not allow us to share juvenile criminal information outside of Los Angeles County. So we've made that data yellow in Index so that any other Index user who queries someone whose data happens to be a juvenile in Los Angeles County will still get a hit indicating that something exists. It just won't tell you what that data is because of the law, but you'll have to contact us, the agency, and we'll provide you that information. So that's worked very, very well. Also, the FBI is working on the federated identity standard, which basically, as Pam has indicated, will put the responsibility of who should get access to what systems on the agency, like NCIC, like III, and basically the agency is responsible for allowing people to get access to the system. And that's the direction Index is going, where the actual departments will just make Index will ultimately be like another NCIC or like another III, and it will be the agency's responsibility through audits in the future, like they do audits today with FBI applications, to ensure that we're accessing Index as we are authorized to do so. So that I believe is coming from the FBI.
Pam, you introduced this idea of green, red, yellow light, and Scott gave some description of the yellow. You might, for everyone's benefit, talk about those colors and what they mean for the data.
Scott, do you want to handle that? I know that all of our data is green,
sure.
So we are allowing full access to all of our data. And I think, Scott, why don't you go with the yellow and red?
Sure. I think the best way to describe it, obviously, is any data that can be shared unrestricted is going to be green data. And hopefully, 99% of all the data in Index is green data because we want to share as much information as possible. But where you're restricted by law or by policy, you might have to raise the level a little bit. So our law, penal code system in California states that Los Angeles County cannot share juvenile criminal data. So we put that data in Index, but we can't share it, so we've hidden it from everyone and made it yellow. So you can't actually see the actual data, but when you do a query and it matches some of our data, then you're given just a little bit of a note that tells you LA County has data that matches your query, but we can't tell you what that data is, so you have to contact LA County. And the law states that if you have a business reason for needing that information, then we'll provide it for you. So when you contact us, you'll get that particular information. The red data is typically data that is so sensitive that no one within the Index group should ever see that data except only specific users that are authorized to see that data. So you might have a high-profile case within your jurisdiction that you don't want to share outside your jurisdiction, but Index is the only capability you have to share that with certain people within your jurisdiction. So you may ultimately submit that data to Index and call it red, and then just give a handful of people within your jurisdiction access to that data, and no one else would ever know that it was there. So those are the levels of protection that are in place, and it really does allow for a much more efficient business environment, because we still have the opportunity to let you know that information is there, although it's restricted, and it gives you that opportunity to call and get the details.
So, again, building the collaboration and making sure there is a mechanism to share the information if it's appropriate to do so. Let me change to another issue that Pam introduced for us. She spoke about the responsibility of the local agencies to training and vetting their officers and things of that nature. I would ask Chris first and then Mark, in your roles as leaders in your various law enforcement agencies, how has the Index affected you in terms of training issues, and how are you coping with that? What advice might you have for other agencies that are concerned about how that would impact their agency?
I'll start by saying that because it's still fairly new, and we're still actively looking at what are the best practices on how to conduct the training, what training is absolutely necessary, because although Index is a very intuitive system, much like some of other systems, it's very easy to use. There's still, because it's new, we don't know yet exactly what type of training that ultimately we will need to do, not only on a policy basis, but also on operational use for detectives. I know the program office has done a great job of putting together a number of easy to digest video training or computer-based training that literally walks you through how to access the system, what the limitations are, what the hints on how to make it better for your investigations or how to improve your investigations. But as we move forward, I'm confident that we're going to learn more and more about the best way to train on this system.
We may have had a leg up on this one just because we were involved in a regional system since 1998. So we had established a governance process here. We put policies into place, training with the regional system that's now become a statewide system. So for us, it's really pretty easy to be able to just kind of migrate this now to the at the national level or into this national system. I mean, you have to certainly, you have to bet your, you know, who's going to have access, what's that level of access. You've certainly got to talk about the dissemination. The dissemination is critical, and it's got to be put in policy, and it's got to be a part of the training. And then you have to have the accountability, and of course we do. Here, we do annual audits, and every one of the agencies that's involved in this regional or statewide information sharing system, we do the audits. It's very similar to what you're doing, probably what most agencies are doing, if they're accessing any of the other suite of products out of CGIS, whether it's NCIC, IAFACE, TRIPY. I mean, there are those processes and protocols and procedures that are in place. Really looking at index, I would say, at least particularly with the training, and after you get through the who can access it, what level they can access, and then what do you do with it. You know, after you put all those pieces into place, then the actual getting on there and using it, it's pretty intuitive. If you know how to surf the web, you'll be able to do this pretty easily. So anybody that can get up on the internet and do a Google search, it's going to be pretty close, and it's pretty intuitive, at least in terms of actual using. It's who uses it and how you use it and what you do with it.
We did do training, and we did it in conjunction with the FBI, and we actually did four-hour training classes, and those were actually more than enough. And as Chief Marshall said, it's very intuitive. And there's probably two levels of training. One is for the general officer or investigator. And we've done some analysis on these types of searches. And most of the time, like 75% of the time, someone is looking for a name or something like that. Then there's vehicle and then location. So to train people how to run name, vehicle, location searches and the responses really can be done easily in 4 hours, if not even maybe a two-hour class. Then there's the other side where you get more of your investigative aides or your intel analysts or people like that are going to be doing more digging. And those maybe could be a longer class. But I really think that you can get a very, very detailed knowledge and training of index in 4 hours or less. And our intent and what we're doing is to do a train-the-trainer concept. There's several locations around our region where computer labs are set up. We've got the FBI's forensic computer lab, the Sheriff's Department has a computer room, San Diego Police, and so we are using those rooms to conduct index training.
Yet another example of the partnership that exists. I heard through this that the project office has developed some training that's been very useful. They're certainly partnering in terms of coming out and being available, so agencies that are concerned about this piece have someone who can help them right off the bat by getting the FBI project office involved in this need. And it sounds like to me certainly something with a little fault fairly manageable at this time.
Yes, it's certainly not like the days of the old Kletz teletype training where you had to type in these cryptic messages to do your searches. It's very, very easy to use.
If I had to ask each of you, or if you were asked to come up with a single statement as to why law enforcement public safety agencies should entertain the idea of participating in INDEX, could you answer that question?
I think Scott probably had it best. Why not? If you are not, then your agency, your officers are holding a piece of information. That may solve a crime in somebody else's jurisdiction. It may prevent a crime of violence, take a murderer off the street, or even thwarting the next terrorist attack. I think it's almost derelict in duty by not participating, by not sharing that information. And again, you have to be able to do. There are a number of things that have to be in place But index has been, it's been a long evolution. We've come a long way. This wasn't just, this was not created yesterday or overnight. This has been a long evolution, a long process that's involved hundreds of local, state, and federal partners working together to try to put this national system together. It's here, it's ready, it's built, but now we've got to get the data in there. And it's going to make, it is a force multiplier for every agency that participates.
I'd just like to echo what Mark said and put it in slightly different terms. Is in years past, for many reasons, we either wouldn't or couldn't share data because the technology wasn't there. The technology is here today. It's been provided for us. There's absolutely no reason why we shouldn't share data. And it will, in fact, in my mind, reduce the victimization of this country. I think for every one of these cases that we solve, and it's a good thing that we solve them, you're going to prevent many, many more. And it might be something as simple as an assault, or it might be something preventing a weapon of mass destruction from terrorizing our country. Those things can be prevented with these little pieces of the puzzle that are scattered all over the countryside. And in years past, we would not have been able to do it. Now we can. There's no reason why we shouldn't do it, and we should all also be participating in it.
We owe it to our citizens that we are actually doing this and doing everything we can to for officer and public safety. And actually, to be honest with you, I think they think, you know, all along we've had these capabilities. So I think we owe it to them, and I think it's a great system, and it's already proving valuable in the short time it's been out there.
We found that our RMS systems, our records management systems, were our foundation for information years ago. Today we're finding that our data warehouse systems and our information sharing environment systems like Index are now where we find the most valuable information for our law enforcement efforts, making relationships on crimes that have occurred, making relationships on crimes or making relationships on people that we didn't even know had relationships that now provide us further information that we need to explore. And I think that the next loop of technology is going to be where a lot of colleges and universities are working today and looking at a lot of the historical data. And now because we have all of this historical data coming into us from across the nation, we're going to start looking at the next phase of technology, the next phase of incredible stuff to come, and we're going to start seeing some experiences in predictive policing based on the historical value. So this information sharing environment has not only served us well and serving us well right now at this moment, but it also provides the foundation for the newest technologies coming our way, which will probably include something in the way of predictive policing.
Which certainly has its chance of being cost effective, improve our efficiency and our effectiveness, and make, at the end, all of us safer, and something that has been the promise of Index or the hope of Index for since the beginning. I want to close in moving us to any last comments regarding this FBI, local law enforcement, IACP partnership. I heard Pam talking earlier about the subject matter experts. I heard comments about the user friendliness of the system, how intuitive it is, and my sense is that's a large measure a result of the input that's come from these subject matter experts, the folks out there on the front lines trying to make this happen, trying to use this information and share it more effectively and efficiently. There's a lot to be thankful for, but clearly the kind of leadership the partnership has created is one of the fundamental reasons there's been as much success and much promise as the system has to date. And so I would ask you if any of you have any last comments regarding that relationship and the value of it and why those who haven't yet engaged might want to think about getting engaged.
Well, Scott Edson here from Los Angeles County. We've been participating in the Index program long before the Index program was well known. And I can only tell you that we've had we've moved the program from being one that we were concerned with the FBI listening to the subject matter experts, listening to the ultimate, the people who were the end users, and devising a system that is exactly what we asked for. And the relationship that they forged with law enforcement, with the International Association of Chiefs of Police, and the ability to reach out to those groups for active participation from subject matter expert, active presentations and feedback opportunities about the application is second to none. So The index program and the index solution is truly based on the needs of the end user, and some of these associations have helped us ensure that our voice is heard and the FBI has listened. So it's been a total success.
Well said, Scott. I mean, this one's a no-brainer. You're going to solve crimes. You're going to make your community better. You're going to make it safer. You're going to reduce victimization. And you're going to make your hometown, your community, safer. And by doing that, and all of us doing that, we're going to make our homeland more secure. And it's been a great partnership, and I would certainly encourage everyone to strongly consider participation.
Great. My take clearly is one of the organizations and one of the regions that has, I think, lagged behind in this effort. I mean, my hat's off to Pam and folks in San Diego and Scott down in Los Angeles and Mark in Hampton Roads. That whole area, they have led the nation in getting this information sharing initiative moving forward. For those of us that have struggled somewhat in trying to bring people together to the table, my message to them is look around the countryside, look at the examples that have been provided and the leadership provided by Pam and Mark and Scott, and you realize the benefits to our entire country. And so for those who may be listening to this, if you don't know about this system, you need to get educated and need to bring everybody along with you. It really will reduce crime, it will prevent crime, and it will make the homeland more secure for all of us and for our children. So I think it's really important that the sooner we do this, the better. And my hat's off to the FBI and all their efforts to make this a reality.
Ron, just a final thing. I mean, I think all of us on this call are more than happy to talk to any agency that's interested, any agency that has questions. I would be more than happy to meet with them and talk to them and tell them what we went through. And I'm sure that Chris, Mark, and Scott would do the same. But I think that's one of the things that's so important about IACP and the networking abilities that we have is we're all here to help each other out. You know, you don't have to do this alone. There's no sense in reinventing the wheel. And we need to really reach out. And so we hope that anybody interested does contact us.
Well, in closing, let me thank each of you for participating in today's podcast. And on behalf of the Index Program Office, thanks for your efforts. Thanks for your willingness to contribute as you have throughout the development of Index and specifically in your participation today. We want to thank Chief Mark Marshall, the First Vice President of the IACP, Pam Scanlon, Executive Director of ARGIS, Deputy Chief Christopher Moore of the San Jose Police Department, and Captain Scott D. Edson with the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, and I'm Ron Hawley, Executive Director of Search.